Richard. Skylar. Haley. And Kara. You've passed the exams, completed the sermon notes, done your memory work, and now here you are. 2 years you have spent learning Christian doctrine, memorizing the small catechism, numerous biblical passages, and even the order of the 66 books of the Bible. Well done. I've heard it said that confirmation is just a bunch of holy hoops one has to jump through before they can confess Jesus. That statement is false, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Jumping through hoops is not what confirmation is about, though at times it may have seemed as such when myself and others were on you to get your work done. Confirmation is about your salvation. Period. And I say that for this simple reason. Every Christian needs to know what he or she believes in. Because if you believe in the wrong thing, it will kill you. Faith always has an object. Faith needs to be put in the right place. One needs to abide in the right God. Our Lord Jesus teaches us today. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ because he is the vine who gives life to his branches. Confirmation has taught you about the vine, Jesus, and that it is by faith in him, in his word, in his doctrine passed on to the church that the sinner has life. Christ is the vine that gives life to his branches. You may think there are other vines who can do the same thing. You may think there are other vines who give life just as well, and so you go to them. But it is not insignificant that Jesus says, "I am the true vine." The Lord Jesus knew, following his ascent to the Father, false prophets would swoop in and deceive, if possible, even the elect. God knows there are false gods in the world. We heard it from 1 John, the epistle reading today. And they vie for our attention. Our Lord warns us of temptation, that they will assail the Christian as we are tempted to chase after false gods who claim to give us life, when in fact, it's a lie. The doctrine that you four have been given in confirmation is about your salvation. And we pray that God keeps you faithful to this word, and that he always enables you and gives you that ability to discern truth from error, to know the true vine from those that are not. When I was younger, few things irked me more than hearing an adult give me a "when I was your age" speech. But also, when they would say something to the effect of, "You think you have it hard now, just wait until you get into the real world," as if I'm not in the real world already. Even at your age, you have challenges and obstacles, because friends, there is not a vocation in the world that is insulated, protected from suffering and difficulty. Confirmands, you will face trials as you get older, and you will face temptations. The temptation that youth often face is the temptation to rely on the flesh. when we're young and full of vigor, our mind is sharp, our body is spry and healthy, we're tempted to believe we have everything we need. And as you get older, there will be that temptation that everything you learn in confirmation can be forgotten without consequence. No big deal. There will be the temptation to think going to church, that was just a habit enforced by clueless parents. What need is there to rouse yourself out of bed on Sunday morning to hear some pastor drone on and on behind a homemade pulpit in strange garments? What need is there for a God when you worship yourself? What need is there for a true vine if you believe you can be that branch capable of living on its own? These thoughts are widespread, and they're convenient for anybody looking for an excuse to sleep in on Sunday morning after Sunday morning. But the reality is branches severed from the vine wither, and they die. The great lie peddled by the father of lies is that you can find life outside of Christ. And this lie comes in the form of what's known as syncretism, which is just a fancy word saying all the religions and belief systems of the world work in sync to get you to the same destination. But Richard, Skyler, Haley, Kara, and all of you, the devil is clever, and he's experienced. And he will tell you you are a Christian. He will tell you you have life while also convincing you there is no need to go to a church to hear the gospel. There is no need to gather with other Christians. There is no need to receive this gift called the Lord's Holy Supper. There is no need to do devotions while also supplying you with all the pious sounding arguments calming your conscience when you sleep in on Sunday morning after Sunday morning. Let us heed the word of our Lord. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Do not be deceived. Scripture does portray hell as a real place. But this is scary, isn't it? Because in the back of our minds, we wonder, well, then how do we abide in Jesus as this branch? Just how then do we be a branch that bears good fruit? People of God, we miss the point entirely. If we think in this gospel lesson this morning, God is commanding us to bear fruit on our own without faith in God. However pious and holy we think we are, verse 5 crushes all works righteousness. When Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our Lord is not calling us to trust in our own flesh, but he's calling sinners to abide in him by faith. He calls sinners to believe in him, trusting in him, that by his death and resurrection, we have been given life beyond death and bear fruit according to his good and gracious will. As any tree gives life to its limbs, as any vine gives life to its branches, the life that we need comes from Christ. He is the true vine who gives life to his people, abundantly in the forgiveness of sins, holiness, and even purity. And it is by abiding in him that one bears fruit. For only the good tree bears good fruit. When it comes to your salvation, it's always crucial that the baptized believer trust and look to the Word of God, his promises, and not look to our own flesh for strength and help. Whenever the topic of bearing fruit comes up, we look at our lives, and if we're honest, we will see disappointment, brokenness, sin, and despair. For every one good fruit we think we find, there are 10 more rotten ones close by. But taking inventory of our fruits, looking at our own works, that is not the way to soothe a troubled conscience. For the Christian, We look not unto ourselves for life, but we have it in the Word of God. We have it in our Lord and our God, who says to you, abide in me. And he promises you, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. The Lord gives life. The Lord produces the fruit. Salvation belongs to God. And it is his work from start to finish. And he is sure to do it. Abide in the Lord. In other words, live by faith in his promises, hearing his word, a word by which you are made clean. And that is yet another promise we have in this gospel lesson, that God's word makes one clean. Our Lord Jesus says this. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. God's word makes people clean. That is the reality that God pronounces upon you in Christ. You are clean and you are pure on account of the true vine, Jesus Christ. Confirmants, you've spent 2 years learning this word. And it is a word that makes you clean because it is a word that creates faith when heard, faith that grabs hold of Christ even during times of difficulty, trial, and tribulation. God cares enough about you that he will take care of his branches. He will prune his branches. He will keep his branches vibrant and healthy. He refines his people through trials and tribulations that, though painful, there is one good thing about suffering. Oh, yes. We hear from Scripture in Romans 5, when Paul writes to the Romans saying, suffering produces endurance. Endurance, character, and character, hope. And that hope will not put us to shame. During times of great suffering, and we feel as if we are being pruned, the good thing about it is that we hear from our Lord, verse 5, we are reminded of what our Lord Jesus tells us, and that is, apart from me, you can do nothing. Suffering reminds us of that hope that we possess as God's people, that Christ is the vine who is sure to give you life. Oh, he is sure to do it now and for eternity. Remember this life that you have in Christ. And by the grace of God, hold on to this word that makes us pure, a word that creates faith to trust in his promises. And for all of us, let us take comfort in this word of our Lord, that he is the vine who gives life. He is the vine that produces fruits pleasing to the Father. Friends, he is the true vine by whom we have life and sins put away, washed and forgiven. The vine by whom we have life everlasting. The vine by whom we can trust in God's word of promise. When our Lord says, nothing will separate you from my love, a love that you richly have in Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts, both now and forever, in Christ and life everlasting. Amen.